Welcome to Minute 49 of Season 3 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Kurt Kenny, an award-winning editor. See, I got it this time. Producer, director, writer, composer, all-around filmmaker. Welcome back to the show, Kurt.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you've come back, and, you know, well, for some reason, we're back in the same place that we were before, just like just like John McClane. So we'll have to see what comes of that. Who knows?
Yep.
So minute 49 begins with John exiting a new hatch and ends with Fritz trying to find a way to, you know, give Hans an update by babbling. Yesterday, we ended the minute where John made it through a fan, which, you know, unbelievably made it through a moving fan just by using a machine gun, and, you know, went through the catwalk and opened up a hatch. And in this minute, he actually comes through that hatch. And as he's coming through the hatch, we actually realize that we've been here before. We were here last week, 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. I think it was last week. This was one of the first rooms that he went through when he got off when he was riding the top of the elevator, and he sees the pinups that were on the, you know, that are on one of the I guess it's the electrical boxes or something like that. You know, you have the pinup of Pam Stein, and then there's another one with three girls with their backs to us, you know, looking out at the ocean. And he walks by and, you know, puts his hand on the picture of Pam Stein and says, "Girls," you know, basically, you know, saying hello to them, I guess. And first of all, I think it's great that he's in the same room that he was in last week. But, you know, they've worked it around that it's somewhat of a maze that he's coming in through a different door. But we can still see that he left the hatch open on the right hand side when he was here, you know, just a few minutes ago in the movie. So, you know, it's to give us also a familiarity, you know, that he doesn't even know where he's going when he's you know, going around and around through this maze. This is not just a maze for us. It's a maze for him. You know, it wasn't as if he was planning on coming back to this room, and he just manages to end up back in here, you know, which says a lot about the terrain that he's trying to get through here and stuff like that.
Yep.
Go all the way. He runs down to the end of the corridor after, you know, putting a hand on the poster. And then he sees a shadow of Fritz, and he hears Fritz, you know, saying something in German. And what Fritz is actually saying, he says, "Uff dem Dachboden." So I looked it up, and he basically says he's in the attic. Hello, duh. You know, everyone knows that's where he is. It's not really much of a, you know, who's he trying to impress by saying, "Oh yeah, he's near the roof. He's in the attic." You know, that's why they're there. You know, just, I think that's one of the reasons why in most versions of the subtitles, they don't even, you know, they don't even bother to translate it because they don't want to make him look that bad. You know, I found a version of the subtitles that actually had the German words. So that's why I was able to look it up. And,
oh, wow. Okay.
You know, yeah. And then, John turns around and, you know, cause he doesn't know what Fritz is saying. And he goes back down to the corridor and ends up back at, you know, he passes the pinups again. And as he's doing that, he goes back to the hatch that he came through last week. And then he goes through the hatch, and this time he actually closes the hatch behind him, which is something that he didn't do, you know, last week, and he didn't do when he came through the first hatch earlier, you know, in today's minute. So I guess he's trying to maybe throw them off. You know, maybe if the hatch is closed, they're not going to think he's going through it. You know, I'm not really sure. And then he looks around and he screams, "Where the f*** is it?" And it just, you know... makes you wonder what do you think he's trying to find? what's he looking for?
He's looking for a way out.
No, but do you think it is, when he refers to it, he's referring to the fact that where's a way out?
Well, I think where's the exit? You know, like, yeah, it's not that simple. I mean, that's what he's trying to do, is get out of there and get lower.
Right. Okay, now I think that it's actually he's looking for the elevator. Because this is where he got off the elevator last week. You know, when he was riding the elevator.
The elevator shaft there, right? I mean,
there's an elevator shaft, but there's no elevator.
20 seconds, he's looking down the shaft there, but there's nothing for him to hold on to, so there's not like much he can do there.
Right. Right. But I think he was looking for he was hoping that the elevator would still be there. But even if the elevator is there, that's not gonna help him. Because it's not like he can get into the elevator. He'd just be riding it on top. So
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. You know, it's a strange comment. It's funny to hear him say it that way, but you know, and then like he runs around and starts looking around, and he, you know, he looks down the elevator shaft and sees the elevator far below. You know, a little bit frustrated, obviously, and then the shot changes, and we see Carl and Franco running down the staircase that has the chains and barrels on the side. Which once again, we get to see them again. They're reminding us, and it's great seeing that now we see Carl right next to them, because he's the one who's going to have a lot to do with it later.
You know? Yeah.
And at this point, John hears them coming and starts to panic a little bit, trying to figure out what it is that how is he going to get away from them? What's he going to do? And then he comes across a grate. You know, that's I guess there for safety reasons, so that nobody goes into the elevator shaft, you know, and he looks through it and tries to figure out what to do. And then he takes the gun and bangs three times on the grate and is able to dislodge it, and it falls down the shaft. So this grate falls, we get to wait and hear it fall for 7 seconds. Before you actually hear the grate hitting hitting the ground or hitting something.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Now, how fast or how far do you think it's actually falling?
Well, I mean, it's got a long way to go. I don't know. It looks, in the next scene, they make it look like it's a pretty perilous drop. Yeah. So.
Right.
Number of stories, I don't know, but enough that we know that a fall down there would kill him, certainly, which is all you need to know for the stakes of the scene.
Right, that's true. Now, I mean, important
about the shot when the screen is falling down is just that you see, like, okay, there ain't nothing for him to land on. This is right. An open shaft. If he falls, he's toast.
Correct. That's very true. Now, one of the things, I'm not a science person, I'm not a math person, but one of the things I always remember is how fast something will fall. You know, if something, it doesn't matter what it is, if you know, they have the whole experiment of holding a feather and a hammer, and you drop them and they're both going to fall at 9.8 meters per second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I decided to look that up, and how does that work if something's dropping 9.8 meters per second, you know, for 7 seconds? You know, is it something that's constant or is it not? And apparently there's the idea of acceleration also, which I never thought about. Okay. Mm-hmm. So according to the calculation that I found online, again, I probably did this wrong. So anyone out there, you know, who knows math better than I do, which is probably most of you, you'll probably know this better. You'll probably be able to tell me whether I did this right or not. But based on what I did, I found an acceleration calculator. You know, so I said, okay, it's something that falls for 7 seconds and whatever. So it said that the height should be 788 feet for it to fall 7 seconds. Okay, and the gravitational acceleration is 9.8 meters per second. But then they add in the velocity aspect, which is 68.65 meters per second. You know, which again, I'm just as confused as anyone else out there who doesn't know anything about math. But that's the information I found. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I hope it is. I hope I'm sounding, you know, a little bit smarter by saying that, but maybe not. Who knows? But that's what I know about falling objects. You know, that's what I was able to find out about falling objects.
Motion to slow it down or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
No if idea. Something flies by the camera too fast and you don't see it, it doesn't read. You may have to slow it down so you can see it's falling. I don't know.
Right, but here we get to hear it. That's the difference. That's the good thing about it. You know, the idea is that we wait. You know, the fact that they wasted 7 seconds of a shot just so we get to hear the clang, you know, works. Because it's because right after that happens, we see John's face. John is definitely scared because he realizes how far down it is if he falls. You know, yeah. This isn't a – I mean, he knows he's on the 40th floor. That's a separate issue. You know, that's not a surprise to him at all.
Yeah.
You know, about it. But we see him, like, thinking about it for a minute, and then we see that he grabs the gun and starts playing with the strap, first on the back and then on the front. You know, as he's sort of panicking before they get there. And then we get another shot of Fritz, who's on the radio with Hans. And, you know, they need to give some sort of update to Hans. We don't understand what he's saying. In the version that I was able to find, you know, earlier in this minute, the German words this time it was not there, so I can't tell you exactly what type of update that he's getting. Then Carl enters the room also, and he goes over and opens the side hatch that John had come through at the beginning of this minute, hoping that he's able to catch someone right away. But he also doesn't have his gun on the ready. You know, this goes back. Carl is notorious for this, apparently. You know, he wants to shoot something, but he's just not ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he thinks he's better than anyone else, so therefore he'll still have those extra few seconds, regardless. I don't know. it's just funny the way that he opens it really quickly, but again, the gun is not pointed.
He puts space rather than the gun. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so,
I don't know. You'd have to ask Alexander Gudinov, but I don't know if he's with us anymore, is he?
No, he's not. No, he passed away in, I think, 94 from, I think, AIDS, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, he's okay. We can't ask him.
Okay, well.
And you know, we'd have to go to some jail to ask John McTiernan. So you know that, right? You know about his history?
I didn't follow the story completely, but I heard that he was in trouble about something or other.
For wiretapping, he was wiretapping conversations with a fellow producer, and then during his trial, they found out that he was also wiretapping his wife as they were going through a divorce. So he I think he was in prison for like a year, and then on house arrest or something like that.
Wow. Okay.
We discussed it earlier in the. Thing, which he made some great movies, but hasn't made anything since I think 2003. I think that was the last time that he made a movie. Right. So Carl looks very frustrated.
It's tough to do it if you can't leave the house.
Well, nowadays, but back 7 years ago, that was something very different.
Yeah.
You know, now we have the opposite problem. People don't want to leave their houses, even when they can.
Yeah.
So. You know, and at this point, Carl just looks very frustrated once again, and you know, decides to go towards the other hatch. And as he's walking towards the closed hatch where we know John went through, so Fritz then continues to give an update as the minute ends. You know, once again, we don't know what he's saying. The script on this scene is going to be on this minute is going to be really simple because none of it happens. It's not mentioned at all. It's not part of the script. This is something that they added in. I'm glad they added it in because I think it adds a little bit to the cat and mouse of the whole situation. It also adds to the fact that you know how angered Carl is and how frustrated he is trying to capture this guy who you know who killed his brother. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good that they added this in. And I like the little comic idea of having Fritz try to give an update the whole time, you know, where we have absolutely no idea what he's saying. You know, he could be just giving a recipe at the same time. Who knows? You know, it just, you know, he could be saying whatever, anything. Who knows? So, you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Almost this entire sequence is shot handheld, I believe, too, which is what I was talking about in the last minute, that I really, you know, like that vibe that it brings to it. It's not overly shaky or anything like that, but it just has a little something to it. It is also interesting that, because this is something you saw a lot in the 80s, I think, but you don't see anymore, is is this kind of the whole topless thing out of nowhere for, and not particularly for any reason. I just saw a revival screening on Friday night of National Lampoon's Vacation with Chevy Chase, and that has that too. It's funny that it's a comedy, and then out of nowhere there's just like these topless shots for no particular reason. It seemed to be a staple of the movies back then, but you don't really see that nowadays.
No, that was definitely something. I mean, you and I grew up in the 80s. Just about every movie has that. You know, it was something that they did at the time. But nowadays, for obvious reasons, they have avoided that. And I gotta say that I think in this movie, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. We had a whole big discussion about nudity in movies when and I think in this movie, it actually ruins the movie that they have the very quick nude scene, you know, when the couple are having sex in the office where they get pulled out, and also to have this, because this is a movie that I would have shown my sons when they were younger. But because of those two little shots, you know, I think it also says something about society that people.
I think the violence would be more disturbing if
you're younger. That's what I was just about to say. I think that says a lot about our society that the violence is less of an issue, but it's the nudity that's a problem. You know,
that's funny.
So I don't know. I don't know what that says about me then. but you and I both can say that as kids, we probably weren't bothered about the fact that there was frequent nudity in these movies. So,
but one thing I like is the way they built these the lights, the fluorescent lights into the side. You know, like, because you would think in a building like this that they would probably generally be overhead, right? Yeah. But the production designers built them into the side, which is great because that way they become part of the visual interest of the set. We're not just looking at concrete walls. But, and also with, like I've mentioned how much I like the lenses this movie was shot with a couple of times, you can see that blue streak that's coming out, the flare, every time the light's in the frame. And that's just a feature of that lens in this movie that I like a lot, is just the those flare streaks and things. And they're throughout, and having the fluorescence on the walls really, you know, gives an opportunity for that to occur and to really keep things, you know, visually exciting.
Oh, wow. I mean, in the last second in this minute, we actually see one of the fluorescents on the ceiling, but you're right. Up until then,
so there are some, but they have on the walls, and you don't, that's not something you normally see as a design feature in a place like this. So it's a clear choice because clearly they wanted to be able to, I'm sure they wanted to be able to have more kind of flares and streaks and things in the image. Right. So,
well, next time you're in, the Century City building, you can check it out. You can tell them you want to go up to the roof.
Well, I'm fairly certain that's a soundstage that has since been struck and is not actually in the building.
You never know. You never know. You got it. These are things you need to find out. You need to research it. You know. You're in LA.
I don't think they would appreciate in this day and age some weird guys snooping around their infrastructure in the building.
I would think that they've been dealing with people like that have been doing that for 34 years. I don't think.
Maybe so.
You know, I'm assuming they know that people are going to walk in and say, "Ooh, this is where they filmed Die Hard. Can I see this? Can I see that?" You know, it's I guess it's a requirement to be a security guard there.
Though it's a little difficult to get to though, because there's no parking on the street that it's on, and you can only park if you go up into that circular driveway and then go into the garage and everything too. So you have to really, really want to enter the building if you you can't just sort of casually drop in, because it's a long street called Avenue of the Stars in the Century City that there just is no parking. There's no parking anywhere on the street. It's just not allowed. So you have to be going to one of the places and parking specifically to go in. Wow. Okay.
So. That's good to know. I did not know that. There you go. All right. So every Thursday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track Holiday Edition, where either myself or my guest will give a little story about something that happened to us at some point in our lives over the holiday season. So Kurt, you have another story for us?
Well, the only good one I can come up with, maybe, I don't know, because it's movie related, I guess, and it happened at around Christmas time. I remember I was in the middle of filming a movie that I was making in high school. This was back in probably Christmas 89 or 90, I guess, probably 89, 88, something like that. I had borrowed this high-end VHS camcorder from a friend of mine to shoot some scenes, because I think mine was in the shop or something. And I was out with my friend Andrew, who Dear Zachary is about. We were in a parking lot shooting just some Christmas light shots that I needed for this movie. And we were just doing that. Originally, we were going to go do that and then go to the movies, I remember. But then after this happened, we did not go to the movies, which was, I don't know, wasn't paying attention somehow. The tripod wasn't stabilized. And I turned away for a second, and suddenly the tripod with this expensive camcorder I had borrowed from my friend who had got it from like the AV department at the college he was working at fell over, tipped over and smashed on the ground. And I was just absolutely mortified because I was worried, A, I just destroyed this very expensive thing because I was just stupid and hadn't secured something. B, I was worried that I just destroyed my friendship with this other person who had lent me the thing, which fortunately I did not. He's still one of his friends.
He just doesn't let you use the camera anymore.
And I remember Andrew being like, oh dear, sorry, I didn't see that happening either. So like, cause neither of us noticed that the tripod was tipping over and, that the camera got destroyed. Cause I remember that night we were about to go see the Chevy Chase movie, Christmas Vacation, speaking of National Lampoon's Vacation. And we did not go. We went later in the week after started the problem out with the camera.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
that's a great story. That's anyway. Fun. You see?
Yeah. So yeah, that was that. So it took place around Christmas time. We were photographing Christmas lights for, I don't even know if I ever used the shots in the movie. I don't know if I could use the shots because I don't know if you could get the tape out of that camcorder after I screwed it up. But there you go.
Hey, why not? That's a great story. Thank you very much for that story. All right. You want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. I just go to my website, which is myname.com. So KURTKUENNE.com. And there's a button for contact on there.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me at my website. Kurt, you feel like coming back tomorrow to finish up the week?
I think we have to do that. I think we should do it.
All right. Excellent. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.